we had one little piece before the Mishnah. It's actually a very interesting piece. Tana Rabbanan. So we're on Daf Lamed Aleph, Amud Beis. And you'll see there are two Mishnayos on the bottom of the page, but we're a little bit before the first of those two Mishnayos. And it should say Tana Rabbanan at the beginning of the line. So I don't know if you could find it. It's sort of smack in the middle of this Tosis Bid Rabbi Yitzchak. I don't know if that helps anybody. Tana Rabbanan. Now let me just give an introduction. A man owns what we call in Yiddish a geshäft. He owns a store. So he has a lot of supplies that he's selling. And amongst the various things he's selling, let's say he has a supermarket, he sells chametz. That's his business. And he's a Jew. He does a bedika, and he makes sure that he has no chametz available in this chanus, in this store. Again, what does he do with his supplies? I don't know. Maybe some of it he ships off to a guy. Maybe he makes sure to use up whatever he has left in the store, and therefore he's able to do a bedika, and he'll only resupply whatever breads he sells after Pesach. And now we find a piece of bread. Here's the suffix. Who owns that bread? Is this the bread of the store owner? Or is it perhaps the bread that belongs to the workers? He has palim. He has workers. The employees, I guess you'd say, right? Employees. And they are not Jewish. Who brought the chametz in? Is it the owner and it belongs to this to what's called the malai? Malai means the amount of bread that he's selling, or does it belong to the goyim who are bringing their sandwiches in because they want to eat there? Now again, when are they coming in? Are they coming in during Pesach? Before Pesach? We don't know. Now this subject, believe it or not, in its original form, is not a Pesach issue. It's actually it's actually in the context of Hashavas Aveda. You find something in a store. Do you assume it's owned by the store owner, or can you assume it's owned by one of the workers? And there's going to be enough kibbutz. Who do you return it to? Again, you need simanim and so forth. I'm not going into all the details, but just in general, that's the concept that goes on here. Now, what we're about to embark upon is a machlokas between Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel, how to learn this Gemara. And it's been akotz al akotz. It's like one of these machlokas in from one polar extreme to the other. So I'm going to suggest that we learn the sugya according to Rashi, and then we'll spend a few minutes and try to figure out how Rabbeinu Chananel understood this Gemara. Now, why is this relevant to Psachim? And specifically to our Mishnah, the subject of which is Chametz Sha'avel of HaPesach. And the answer is obvious. If we assume that this Chametz that we find after Pesach was part of the Malai, that means it's owned by the owner of the store, and in the ratio of our Brisa, the first case is going to be the store was owned by a Jew, as I mentioned before, then it becomes Chametz Sha'avel of HaPesach. If, on the other hand, it was lost by one of the Poalim, who are goyim in this case, then it's chametz shel nachri shavu'ah of Pesach, which is not aser. So what's the status of this chametz as far as chametz shavu'ah of Pesach is concerned? Not as a chefetz of mamon, in terms of who to return it to, that's already bab metziah, but as a chefetz of chametz.
Didn't the Jew sell it before Pesach?
Let's assume he didn't sell.
You have a store, you have to sell
right.
It.
Right. Let's assume he didn't sell it. He was using up all his malai. You know, so he made sure that, let's say, a week before Pesach was the last time that, you know, you see these big trucks, you know, Berman's Bakery. He got his last, what's the word I'm looking for?
So he didn't think
the last supply, whatever the word is, of chametz. And this is where Rabbi Chananel objects to Rashi. L'chori did a bdika. So if he did a bdika, then obviously it's not his chametz. What do we assume? No, that maybe he missed a piece of chametz. That's what Rashi is going to say. So let's go through the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan, we have a braisa. Chanus shel Yisrael. So the ratio is addressing the case where the chanus is owned by a Jew, umelai, and everything that's being sold in this store, including chametz, shel Yisrael, is owned by the Jew. He owns the store and all that's inside the store. But upale nachrim, but his workers are not Jewish. Nichnasim l'sham, and they go in and out there, and it's fair to assume that they go in with chametz, correct? So again, these are salespeople, if you want to call them. Right, today you talk about a sales, not a salesman, but a salesperson, right? You have to be politically correct. So the salesperson is a guy, and even if he's not a salesperson, you know, he's not actually selling, but he's doing some halacha there. Maybe he's cleaning up the place. Maybe he, you know, he runs the service counter, whatever he does in the store. And now we don't know who lost the chametz. So the Mishnah, the Brisa says the following: Chametz shenimtza sham achra Pesach. If after Pesach we find chametz, aser bano, which means that we assume who owned the chametz, the Israel. So it becomes chametz shavu lama Pesach. V'ein tzorch lom b'achilu. In other words, I'm telling you a bigger chiddush, you not even have hanor from this chametz. In other words, we assume that this chametz did not come from the outside, so to speak. It wasn't imported by the workers who brought it into the store, but rather this was there the whole time. The chametz was there as part of the malai. And even though the Yisrael presumably got rid of all his chametz, but this chametz he missed. He missed this piece of chametz.
It's a very strange phrase that. What does that mean?
It goes without saying that it's also b'achila. And I'm going to tell you a bigger fish. And I even have hanor from chametz shalva pesach. Mm-hmm. Keep in mind that we passing like Reb Shimon that chametz shalva pesach is only a knas derabona. So if it's a doraisa, then that's Rabbi Yehuda Shita, then chametz is also after Pesach, both b'achila b'hanor, that's a doraisa halacha. But if we're going like Reb Shimon, the whole thing is a creation of the chachamim as a knas. So the b'raisa uses that phrase that you don't even have any benefit from. I don't even have to tell you you can't eat it. That goes without saying. Well, I mean, but we don't know if an isra hanor without an isra achila.
But you say Rabbi Shimon says that it's only derabonan, and therefore what do you say?
So like for example, Reb Shimon would say in the case of Safek, maybe we could be Mekil.
Reb Shimon.
Yeah, for sure, both.
Right.
Or for example, if you hold that Chametz Shavu Pesach is only Darabanan, it could be that in a case where he did whatever he could, and for some reason he missed this Chametz, let's say he did Bittul, he did Bedika, and he missed this piece of Chametz, maybe that Chametz would be Mutter after Pesach.
For both.
Yeah, when I say mutter for both, also for both. Right. Again, that's not true according to Rabbi Yehuda. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this is not a penalty because he didn't do what he had to do. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah says that chametz, you know, owned by a Jew, is aser after Pesach, with the isur lav of achil and anah. Okay. Now, according to Rashi's pshat, which I presented to you, We have a halacha in Aveda, meaning when we find a lost object, that we assume if there's some similar object, or if there's some reason to assume that that object itself was there at some period of time in history, then even if we have reason to believe it was removed, when we find it, we assume it's the old stuff, the old storage. So that what happens is the goyim come in and out. You know, then, and on a daily basis, let's say, as I said before, they bring what do they call it, the lunchbox, you know, and they have chametz in the lunchbox. But the malai represents two things. Number one, it represents the majority of the chametz that comes in, because they were selling relatively large volumes of chametz, so it was massive, you know, volumes of chametz. And number two, it's been there for a long time. So you may remember, perhaps, that we learned a sugya back on, I think it was on Daf Vav, called Pasha Ipsha. And you find a piece of bread, and it's molding. So you don't know exactly at what point, how long it's been there. Correct. At one point it came in and it went out. So we're going to assume that... And you know, one svar was to say, well, it became so spoiled, it must have been there for a long, long time. And the other svar is to say, no, since we know it was there before, we assume it's the same piece, so that's what the Gemara is saying here about Molai. So that's the way Rashi learns.
This particular piece of Chometz is a type that the store sells.
Exactly. So it belongs to that Molai. And again, it could very be possible that this was a piece of Chometz that was brought in by one of the Nochrim Poalim, but according to Rashi, Pshat and Nesugi, we're going to tip the scale in favor of the volume and in favor of the fact that this has been sold for a long period of time. This must have been there for who knows how long, a week or whatever it was, and somehow it got lost. And this chometz had a life to it, so it had a personality to it. This chometz was really avoiding bedika. You know, this chometz decided they're not going to catch me. So the piece of chometz, so to speak, found a very clandestine hiding place. Yeah, Ruben.
It says here, Paul A. Nachrim. When did be the chiddush that the chometz did indeed belong to the Nachrim?
Well, then you're in trouble. I don't know if you could solve this problem. If it belonged to the guy, why is it us?
No, then it became the owner of. Just one. What else?
Maybe the owner is Kona Bidin Chatzer or something like that.
Yes, something like that. I mean, what else do you learn from that it's
Kona Bidin Chatzer? No, what we're trying to say is that even though the majority of people who are in that store are goyim, because that's where the workers come in and out, and therefore it's more logical to assume that this chometz fell from the rove, kamashma, no, we assume it was part of the malai. Why? Because the malai is what's called what's called kama. This kama and basra. So that's the old stuff that was in.
Okay.
What else? Now we get to the safe. Chanushal Nochri, Malai Shal Nochri, Upolim Yisrael Nechnasav Yotzim L'Sham, Yischomet Shenimsa Nimsa Sham Achra Pesach Mutter Vachi Lemein Tzorch Lom Ba'anon.
That's like common sense.
Exactly. It's the logical conclusion of the Reisha. We're just taking the premise and the principle of the Reisha, and we're applying it in the flip case. So that we always go bus of Malai, not bus of Polim. And in this case, we're going to assume that the Chometz belongs to the Nachri because he owns the Malai. Even though the Polim Yisrael are there, and maybe they dropped this Chometz, but no, we go bus of Malai. That's the way Rashi understands this sugi.
The Nachri never, he wouldn't have cleaned out the Chometz from the store. He would have left his Chometz.
Right, that's a fair assumption. So now I want to share with you Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel has a totally different text than we do. Our text is what we call Girsas Rashi. So it comes out like this, that the Chiddush of Rashi is that since, let's go back to the Reisha, the Chanusas Shel Yisrael and Malai Shel Yisrael, Polim Nochru Nichnosim Shom, Tolim Shachomitz Me'am Malai Shem Bachanus, and therefore the chometz is awesome. Af shechanus shel Yisrael asuya liskave b'leil yudalid, he cleans out his chometz from his store on the night of yudalid. Nevertheless, choshishim, when they find the chometz that was lost, choshishim shema nishar shom milifnei haPesach v'lo matza oso haYisrael b'leil yudalid. So again, logically you could have said, well, he cleaned out his chometz, let's assume that he found all his chometz. And if you find a piece of chometz, it must have been one of the goyim who brought it in. No, we're going to say perhaps he didn't find this chometz on Leil Yudalid. That's the way Rashi's learning the sugya. We're not going to be mekil the litlos shenofel chometz mei apol. Bechanu shel Nachri, Malai shel Nachri, Paul Yisrael, Heim Nithnasim L'Shom, is Karav Dar Litol Shizah Chom Shel Chanus, like we saw before, and therefore we assume that the Chometz belongs to the good. Now, in the Sefer, there's even more of a reason, he says, to assume it came from a goy, that it belongs to the Baal HaChanus, who's a goy, because Ein hi asuy liskabi b'leil arba. So the guy is not interested in doing a bedik on leil yadav. So there's even more of a push to say that it belongs to the, it's part of the malay and it belongs to the balachanus. The afagav the ef shalom should not from a pole of Yisraelim. No, we're going to say
Jews,
nothing.
And the Jews for sure wouldn't be bringing in the chometz on Pesach anyway.
Right, so I think he means that this chometz might have been there from before Pesach. Right. You know, but we're saying no because the malai is owned by the goy. Now we get to Rabbeinu Chanan. Rabbeinu Chanan al goras b'gemara chanus shel nochri u'malai shel nochri u'pole Yisrael. Nichnasim l'sham lasa sham alocha chametz liach shenimtzal liachar pesach aser banu. So according to Rabbeinu Chanan, that's why I say this is from, you know, you got to change your whole thinking cap. You put on a new thinking cap. He's saying that fakir, that if the polim are Yisraelim, even though the chanus is owned by Nochri, the malai belongs to the Nochri, we're going to assume that this chametz belongs to Yisrael. And it was Ovrel of HaPesach. The Yisrael didn't know that he lost it. And therefore it's also B'Banon, certainly B'Achila.
And why does he say that?
He says the following, Mishum she'tolim she'chometz nofal min ha'polim. V'arei heim shal, v'arei zem, meaning this chometz, shal Yisrael. The chometz shal Yisrael shal HaPesach, Osir B'Banon, v'ein tzoklon B'Achila. Okay, now let's see the other way around.
Why does he?
I don't know. Let's see the other way around. Just give me a minute. V'chanus shel Yisrael. Let's see if we're going to be consistent here. U'malai shel Yisrael. U'palim nachrim nichnasim l'sham. Chametz shenimtza sham liachar pesach muter b'achila. So at least he's being consistent. V'ein tzarech lomar b'anah. Mishum shetolim shachametz nafal me'apalim. So again, here's the machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Chanan is from one pole extreme to the other. According to Rashi's Girsa, what's the determining factor?
The malai.
And according to Rabbeinu Chanan, what's the determining factor? The pole. Varesa shel nachri chomet shel nachri shel muta. Fine.
So he had a different Girsa in the Gemara.
In the Gemara.
So it's not his explanation is
correct,
different.
But what I'm just pointing out is that they're two different gemaras. Like, you know, what should be the determining factor? Is it the malai or the pole? Ubir haramban. The Ramban is trying to shed a light on the girsa of Rabbeinu Chanan. Shemipnei shechanus shel Yisrael asuya liskavi b'leil yudalid. Okay, this is going to be problematic, but let's just see what the Ramban says, and then we'll try to, you know, rip it apart. You know, I always say, give the Rishon a chance to present his thesis, then we'll have to, you know, raise our objections. So the Ramban says the following. If the Chanus is owned by Yisrael, right, and according to Rabbeinu Chanan's Girsa, we're going to say that this Chometz is owned by the Goy in Poland, right? He says, "Hoil, ha'chanus shel Yisrael asuya liskavi b'leil yudalid." See, until now we've almost been in Rashi's frame, we've almost been ignoring the bedika element here, and we've been saying, "Well, he didn't do a great bedika. The chometz has a personality, and he decided to hide away." The Ramban is saying that in Rabbeinu Chanan's frame of reference. At least in the case of Chanus shel Yisrael, again, we have to hold that judgment until we get to the Chanus shel Nochri. But in the case of Chanus shel Yisrael, why does Rabbeinu Chanan insist that it depends on the polim? Because the Bala Geshaft, he did a bdik on Leil Yudal. Oh, the polim Nochrim nichnasim l'sham is ein litlo shehaya chomet shel Yisrael, since it was liskavi b'leil yudal. We're not going to say that this is chomet shel Yisrael. El nofal chomet miyad polim bePesach. Okay. Now we get to the other case.
So that sounds quite okay.
Logical. I mean, let's put it on the polim because there was a bedika. But then we're going to get to the case of a geshef that's owned by a nochrim. Ach b'chomet shel nochrim she'ena asuya liskavid b'leil yudalid yesh lachshosh shema nofal shom hachometz mi pole Yisrael kodem haPesach. What does he mean by that, Rabbi? I'm going to read it one more time because this is the punchline, and I don't catch it. He says, Chanushal Nochrim. So again, in the case of Chanushal Yisrael, he cleaned out the chametz, therefore let's be told it on the pole, who are going. That I understand. But Chanushal Nochrim, now you're going to be Mekil, and you're going to sue Chanushal Nochrim, I'm sorry, according to Rabbeinu Hananel, you're going to be Machmir, and you're going to say that this chametz was owned by whom? By the Polim Yisraelim. Why not say it belongs to the Malai? I don't get it. Apachanushal Nochrim She'ena Asuyel Iskabe Belel Yudalid Eina Asuyel Iskabe Belel Yudalid. So the Chanushal Nochrim, therefore what? Choshishin Shem Nofal Shom HaChomis.
Why do you assume it's the Jews?
Now it's in the case of what? Of Chanus Shal Yisrael. If the Chanus is owned by Yisrael. Oh, I see what he's saying. One second. Give me a minute. I think I caught it. He's saying the following, that according to Rabbeinu Hananel, we really don't know up front, we don't know. Are you familiar with the phrase in Latin, prima facie? You know, at first glance, we don't know whose chametz this is. Does it belong to the Malai? The Balachadus? Does it belong to the Polim? So it works like this. In truth, in every case, Rabbi Nachmanel would say that the chametz is us. If it's the Malai of the Israel, let's be afraid that it belongs to the Israel. If it's the Polim Yisraelim, let's be afraid they came from the Polim Yisraelim. So whoever the Jew is, that's what we're going to be afraid of. Whether the Jew is the owner of the Chanus or he's the Polim. Oh. But says Rabbeinu Hananel, in the case where the Chanus is owned by Yisrael, and now you want to say that it belongs to the Malai, the way the Girsa Rabbeinu Hananel has it, then we have a svara to say that in this case, it doesn't belong to Yisrael. Why? Because he's done a bedikah. But now we get to the case of Chanus Shel Nochi. Now I don't know where the chametz belongs. You know, what do I do with this chametz? Is it Shel Malai? Is it Shel Polim? It's Shel B'Shav. That's what I think he's saying.
Okay, good. Then, fine.
Because what makes me say this? Because listen to the language of Rabban. He says that if the Malai belongs to the Nochri, then he says, Choshishin, Shema Nofal, HaChomitz Mipol Yisrael. The Rabbi Nachmanel, the way the Rabban formulates it, is not committed to Paul. You know, that's the way we said it. We said that Rashi, in this tug of war between Malai and Poland, had as far as to say that we go Basar Malai, as opposed to Paul. Rabbi Nachmanel says, no, let's shift over to the Paul. No. Choshishin Shema Nofal Me'a Polim. No, so you'll ask me if that be the case, then if you're Choshish for the Polim in the case of Malai Shel Nochri, you know, the Chanus belongs to Nochri, why not say that if the Chanus belongs to Israel, let's be Choshish for the, just one second, so since you, just one second, for Malai, right? So since we're saying what? That in the, that you're always, that since you're saying that the Iser Chomets Shavala Pesach is based on Choshishin, I'm reading that word in the Rabban and I'm underlining Choshishin, Choshishin Shema. So why don't we say Choshin Shema in both directions? And then in all cases it should be also. And that's where the Bedik comes. That's what I think he's saying. Again, I can't do any better than that, but that's what he's saying. Now, what I would want to do, if I have the Rishus of the Tzibur, is I'd love to see how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, so for that we need the Ein Mishpat. If somebody could just do me a favor and look it up for me. What number is it? It should be number Gimel. All right, Tuf Mem Tes. Let's see if I got it right. Tuf Mem Tes.
Well, I can surmise is that the Nachrim, they're store owners, they keep their stock much more neater than the Jewish.
Are you being cynical or are you being serious?
So,
which party are you voting for tomorrow? One second. I'm just kidding.
And so.
Right. So wait, let me read the Shulchan Aruch to you, okay? Tuf Mem Tes. Chanus Shel Yisrael Umelai, Nehid Ramoy is a covered Perush Haschora Uklea Chanus. No, it's everything that's inside the Chanus, whether it's the material that's being sold or whether it's all the different utensils, Shel Yisrael. So the Malai and everything inside belongs to the Yisrael. Polim Nichnasim Lisham Einam Yehudim. Oh. So now let's just figure out. I want to just guess what's going to come around the bend. According to Rashi, in this case, it should be Osir. Now let's just see. According to Rabbeinu Hananel, it should be Mutar. Correct? Because this is the case where Rabbeinu Hananel says that since the Yisrael, that's why the Rabban says, did a Bedika, therefore we have every right to point to the pole. Zokti Shulchan Aruch, Chomit Shenim Shasham Achra, Pesach Osir Manoah. So the Shulchan Aruch is accepting Rashi. The sheet of Rashi. Let's just see if the Mishnah Berurah points this out. My polim nafnu sometimes lasis malach fine. Also, banan the talinan shachamid zeshal chanusu velo meapolim. Afal pishem regulin with sham. Mishum the chamid shebchanusu kavua sham tadir. I think he's saying something similar to what we said. You know, the malai there is always there. It's been there, and it's, again, we added that it's a massive amount. Utfei yesh litlo shenisha sham chametz shelo shelo matzah b'yis habedika. Ah, just one second. Now he's addressing the objection of Rabbeinu Hananel. Rabbeinu Hananel is saying, no, let's assume it was brought in by the pole because the Yisrael did a b'dika. He says, name. He doesn't mention Rashi by name, but he's saying that since there was a malai and it was kavua there, it was always there, therefore we have to assume that he missed a piece of chametz during the b'dika. Okay. Now we get to the sefer. Chanus shel eini Yehudi, umalai shel eini Yehudi, upolim nifnasim l'shem l'sham heim Yisrael. So again, according to Rashi, this should be mutar. Correct, because we're told in the malai. We're told it in the malai. And how much more so? Because here there was no bedika. Is chomet shenim tzasham mutar afilu b'achilu. Oh, listen to this. Kachi girsas Rashi. V'rabbeinu hai. Okay, I don't know. I don't have access to Rav Hai. Avor ben chananel goreis behepach. So what's he telling me? I don't know. Let's see the Mishnah Berurah. I mean, he's saying a shir kloli here, or he's telling me how to pass it here. I don't know.
He's obviously not telling how to pass it because he's quoting both versions.
So he says here, Ben Chanal Goris Lehepech, Dehu Savar, De Talin and Yoser Ba Polim Shemitsuyim Sham Tomit, Bein Lekul Bein Lechumra. Oh, Ule Inyan Dino, Naftinu Kidea Kamais. So it means that the Shulchan Aruch is just, how should I say, for our own erudition, you know, for our own expanded scholarship, tells us that Rabbeinu Hananel has the exact opposite conclusion. And it all depends on the poll. And he says the following. The Yesha Kosvu, in the footnote on the bottom, he says the Bach, the low pligi klal. There's no machlokas at all. Let's see if we can see what he means. The Loka Amri Dea Basraiso, that's the Rabbeinu Hananel, who says that you go bust the polim, El Bikigon, Shalohoya Bachanus, Mine Mazon, Hakshar Schoros. It was a department store. It was a clothing store. It was not a food store. It was not a supermarket. And therefore what? So for sure you're going to go bust the polim in that case, no?
Okay, in both cases.
In all cases, you go bust the pole, right? Because there's no schorin.
Yes.
So I don't know exactly what the chiddush is according to that. Avol ein achinami im hoye b'chanus minei mazon is gam l'dei zu baser chanus umalayas lina. So again, the only thing I can comment, I'm not here to evaluate the Bach because I'm not studying the Bach, but if there's no malai here, again, I don't know what Girsi has, but that's above beyond the Girsi. If there's no malai here, then obviously we look at the people who go in and up, in and out.
Malai has to refer to Chamedes.
He doesn't have a Girsi, I guess. But I'm just saying, he says that the whole discussion is because Lohoye b'chanus mini mazar. No, Lohoye b'chanus mini mazar, there's no reason in the world I should go mazar the Bala Chanus. He's not even selling Chametz. I mean, you could say maybe he comes in with Chametz again, but connected that, he's got, 25 workers who bring in Chametz. I don't know.
The main.
But here's the punchline. Avol imhoya b'chanus mini mazon is gamle deyazu basa chanus azlino, and then he accepts Rashi sheet. I mean, the good news is that if that be the case, I'm a little bit less unnerved by this machlokas. Meaning, the Mishnah Berurah says that we go basa the day of kamaisa, and now he's saying that there isn't even a machlokas. That even the day of basraisa accepted the day of kamaisa. If there's malai, yeah. Go ahead, Michael.
No, sir. I think the main difference between Rashi and Ramchanel is basically whether you trust the Bedika or you don't trust the Bedika. Rashi doesn't trust the Bedika,
right,
and Ramchanel does trust the Bedika.
Well, yes and no. Meaning, even before you get to the point of Bedika, I think Ramchanel is arguing against Rashi on a more fundamental level. Meaning, let's just isolate the Bedika. And whereas Rashi says, let's go bust a malai, period. Correct? So let's say, for example, if the store is owned by a guy, Rashi says...
No, then that's fine.
I'm just saying, there's a slight difference here between Rabbi, and it might, maybe it has halachic implications, I don't know, but just conceptually, first of all, I think the way we understood it is that according to Rashi, if the guy owns the store, then it's an open and shut case. Ein al malo daber, as we say, right? That this chametz belongs to the guy. Mm-hmm. Rabbi Chananel is a little bit more complicated because Rabbi Chananel is saying that maybe it belongs to the guy, maybe it doesn't belong to the guy. And here's where Rashi might have a fundamental objection against Rabbi Chananel. He's going to say, well, you know what? If you agree with me that we go bust a malai, then there's no reason to yeah, there's no reason to schlep into this discussion, to drag into this discussion the possibility that it came from the pollen. No, says Rabbi Chananel, it may have come from the pollen. Now Bedika comes in. When is Bedika coming into play?
On
the flip case.
The
because here Rashi, here's where Rabbi Chananel gets up and he argues against Rashi. Rashi is saying, I'm going to go with Malai from A to Z. I'm not going to flinch. Either it was a Bedika, he missed it. And Rabbi Chananel can't tolerate that. He's going to say, could be it's from the Malai, could be it's from the Paulim. But you know what? In this case, I'm going to be Mekil, because malai is a no-go, is a non-starter. Why? Because all the malai was removed in the beginning. Okay, let's start the next Mishnah. Now, this is a very famous Mishnah. Chomet should nuffle of mapolis. So what I understood here is that debris fell. There was some sort of a hapola, what we call it, a...
Earthquake?
Not exactly an earthquake. I was thinking of something else when... like a volcano kind of thing. But not a volcano, but something that came from on high. That's where...
Or just the building collapsed.
Okay, or collapsing of a building.
Yeah.
So now the chametz is buried under the debris, and the Mishnah is now going to formulate a principle that you're not responsible for chametz that's under a debris. And then the Gemara is going to ask, well, how deep is it buried under the debris? So it says the following, Harehu kimavoar. Now, in Hebrew we have what's called a chafadimion. And whenever you have a chafadimion, you're not sure exactly what that means. I'll tell you what I have in mind here. Harehu kimavoar means it's not destroyed, but it's like it's destroyed, and the difference is the following. If it's like it's destroyed, then what that means is that I'm exempt from digging it up from the ground in order to destroy it. But it's not really destroyed.
What's the nafkamina?
Nafkamina would be, was he makayim the mitzvah biur? Because he writes here in the translation, you'll tell me what you have in your Hebrew in your English translation, but in the Hebrew translation he has the following, V'ein ovrim olav mishum bal yirua. Which I understood two chidushim here in this Hebrew translation. Chidush number one is that there's no violation of Bal Yirah, and that's what the Mishnah means when it says Kamavur. And chidush number two is that as a result of the fact that there's no Bal Yirah, there's no mitzvah of Tashbisu. Again, it's not that it's Kamavur and you were Makayim the mitzvah of Tashbisu.
Again, what's an afkamina?
So no, I just want to know, was he makayim the mitzvah tashbisu? Maybe it would be an afkamina lagabe shloshim yom. Do you remember we had a whole sugi about 30 days? That sometimes if you leave your house earlier than 30 days, then, you know, in certain cases it will be more lenient and you don't have to do bedika. But maybe within 30 days, maybe in that case you do have to do beer chametz. You know, you aren't Mekai in the midst of beer. Like, let's say, for example, he has nothing else but this. He doesn't know of any chametz anywhere in his possession other than this chametz. Does he have to do a bedika on the rest of his house in order to, maybe he'll put out 10 pieces or whatever it is, in order to be Mekayim the mitzvah biur? So if we're saying Arei Kimavur, he already has the mitzvah biur. It's a little bit odd to say he has the mitzvah biur because he didn't do a thing, he didn't lift a finger. You know, he's totally passive. But if you could accept that maybe in a passive state, he has a kiyum of tashbisu, then maybe he doesn't have to go ahead and then there's no chiv to do more than that. But if you're going to say no, he's just protected from bal yirah by imatzeh, so he doesn't violate the law, but he doesn't get credit, you know, he has no brownie points for kiyum mitzvah biur, then maybe he should find another way of being mekayim the mitzvah biur. Even if maybe he'd have to buy a piece of chametz and destroy it, I don't know.
Well, I was going to say, if you're a person who's 18 years old and you're living with your parents,
right,
do you have a mitzvah to do bedika?
I'm not sure. Do you have your own room? Maybe if you have your own room, that would be considered like a bias. Even though maybe it's not legally yours in the government, you know, governmental terms. You know, but
I'm just wondering, because you say you've got a mitzvah to do bior. If you don't have any chametz, you don't have it.
I'm not sure. You know, the minute of putting out 10 pieces might indicate
makes you think that
you want to be mavar the chametz. You know, Rabbi Yehuda, for example, holds 8 beer chametz on the strafe. You know, you're going to burn your chametz. And the famous tour that you know, if you're being mekayim mitzvah beer, therefore the afer, you know, the ashes that come out of it is mutter because nasas mitzvah. So, you know, something. So I don't know. I think the Chaf Adimian here is what's bothering the Masifta. Again, I wouldn't base my whole theory on the Masifta. I'm a big fan of Masifta, but you know, it's not a Rishon. But he's saying that you don't have to do bedika, you don't have to do beer. It doesn't mean that you fulfill the mitzvah of beer. What does the article say?
It is regarded as having been removed from its own
disposition. Right, so he's not going as far as to say that he was Makayim the mitzvah view. No. You know, that you don't find, neither here nor there. And maybe he should go ahead and do a view on something else, if he can get a hold of another piece of comments here.
Before Pesach cleaning, I'm accustomed to move the refrigerator and the oven and invariably, I find chametz in the book.
Well, you do. Well, that's a simple quick doodle. But it took me 20 years till I finally found a piece of chametz.
But most socks say you don't need to do that. You don't need to move a refrigerator oven.
That's based on this mission. Right. Interesting.
Because you won't come across it over Pesach.
Right. Yeah, it's not going to come. You're not going to encounter it.
Right. But the only problem I have with you is the Gemara that we learned in the first pack. The Gemara says, Yochel Yatmin. Gemara has a Habmina that you can take your chametz and bury it. Tamalom lo yimotze. Lo yimotze means that it could be found. So I don't know, you know, theoretically someone could move your fridge. I'm not saying that people move your fridge on a daily basis. Like the couch, for, you know, there's so many gray areas. You know, like, for example, when my grandkids play with toys, you know, like Lego and stuff like that, we call it Makas Tzvardeya because the Lego is all over the house, right? But very often we move the couch to see maybe there's a piece of a toy that fell behind the couch. So maybe that's already not kimuvur. I mean, there's a lot of gray areas.
You wouldn't move the fridge to see if a piece of Lego fell behind the fridge.
Right, so that's what I'm saying. You know, where do you draw the line? What if it was a radiator, you know, one of those movable radiators? You know, I don't know, you know what I'm saying? I can give you 50 million cases from black to white with every single color of the rainbow in between. I don't know. But my real fundamental question is the following. The Gemara says, Beferish and Bal Yachmin, that you're not allowed to hide chametz. And if you hide chametz, you violate Bal Yimotz.
You're not hiding the chametz, are you? It's just there. You're not doing anything. It just maybe it felt peaceful.
So why should that be different? That's on one.
Because you're not doing any physical action. You can't go and bury chametz. Because maybe you might be tempted during Pesach to, you know, you're hungry and you fancy a bit of chametz, a bit of bread, to get it, dig it up. You know where it is, so you're going to dig it up. Maybe that's different.
But if debris fell in it, then we're not afraid that you might dig it up? I mean, you know where it is. You didn't actually bury it. You know, imagine, again, I'm just trying to be dramatic about it. You have a beautiful piece of chametz, you know, and it's in a box, and it gets buried three tefachim, the Mishnah is going to say, below the ground. I mean, you know, you know where it is. But no, you are right, Michael, that there's a Nuchi Bal Yachmin where he, Bekuvah say, he actively hides the chametz, and that the Gemara says he violates Bal Yerov Bal Yimotze, as opposed to debris. But again, I'm still trying to figure out what Lo Yimotze means. If Lo Yimotze means it could be found, then what's the difference? It's the same debris in both cases, if you follow what I mean. There's no difference in the weight of the debris. You know, Bal Yachmin is the same exact case as Nofel of Mapolis. And yet you violate, in the case of Bal Yachmin, you violate a lav d'oraisa of Bal Yimotze because the chametz is to be found. Look, I don't want to give him shlishi or shishi in the Beis Knesses because he buried his chametz instead of destroying it. You know, obviously he's not such a tzaddik, but on the other hand, now you're telling me I clamped down a violation of Bal Yimotze. You know, he violates a lav d'oraisa. Why? Because the chametz could be found. Why isn't there Bal Yimotze in the case of chametz and nofel of mapolas? Again, here he's a tzaddik gomer. You know, he did nothing. The debris fell. I don't blame him at all. He wasn't trying to wiggle his way out of beer chametz. But my question is, what happened to Bal Yimotze? If Bal Yimotze applies to Bal Yachmin, because he could find access to the chametz, and here too he knows where the chametz is. It's not like he doesn't know where it is. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Kol She'ein HaKelv Yochel L'Chapes Achra. So he writes here that Rav Shimon Gamliel is not arguing with the Mishnah, he's just explaining the Mishnah. That when the Mishnah says it's Kimavur, that's only because the Kelev can't find it, he can't dig it up. So the Gemara is going to ask, so what does that mean, the Kelev can't dig it up? Omer Rav Chisda, I'm sorry, I'm going to skip Rav Chisda for a second. Tana, Kama Chafisa Sa Kelev. What does it mean the Kelev can't dig it up? Shlosha Tfachim. So I don't know exactly how much Shlosha Tfachim is. Let's assume you'll have to help me, Michael, in British terms and in American terms, they say that a Tefach is about 6 inches.
Yeah.
How much would that be in Britain? In Britain, how much is that?
Much?
You don't use inches, right? Oh, you all see his inches?
Well, I do, because I'm a bit older than most people.
Ah, what do the younger people use?
Centimeters.
Centimeters, right. So I don't know how much 6 inches
is. 18 inches is not very deep at all.
Right.
I would say
if you have a low bench here. You know those stools? Those stools that we have them here for Tisha B'Av, you know what I mean?
Yes.
We have a whole bunch of them?
Yeah.
That's probably about what we're talking about. I'm guessing.
But that's very shallow.
Well, I guess dogs don't smell something that's below that thing.
No,
I mean, we can do a... We can, you know, maybe we can Google it. You know, how much of a smell would attract a dog? You know, if it's on the ground.
There are specially trained dogs that can.
Well, that's interesting. You know, I'll love a change if you're on one of those. I don't know. Those seek out the marijuana dogs. You know what I'm saying? You know, I was wondering if in Lud Airport they have those dogs. They do?
For sure.
Oh yeah. I recently, you know, came into the. I think they're trained to. For not so much drugs, but for bombing type.
For bombs, yeah.
Yeah. They get those and then they have ones
here. Yeah, we have a guy who dominates here very often, Aaron Goldberg. I don't know if you met him, he's a short guy. Anyway, he trains dogs to, you know, to smell out things and stuff. And then the police department buys his dogs. That's how he makes a living. Anyway, what I wanted to suggest was. There's a little bit of a problem here. Of course, if you're saying that it all depends on Chafisas Kelev, which he says is three tfachim, so the, you know, so once again, okay, so here's my problem. Oh, okay, now I remember my problem. Omar Rav Chisda, let's go back. I skipped a line, right? Omar Rav Chisda, Tzarech Shiyavatel Belibo. Now, wait a second. We just finished saying that Nuflo of a Pulse Hareki Bevur, at the very least, minimally, means that there's no Bayura Bayimatsa. I'm not willing necessarily to go a step further and say he was Makai in the midst of Tashbisu, but at least there's no Bayura Bayimatsa. So why in heaven's tarnation does he need Bittul? So Rashi comes up with, I think, an answer to this question without even asking it. The first of the wide lines, Rashi says, Shema Yifkach Hagal B'moy, V'nimtza Overal. So in other words, Rashi is saying in its present state, there is no Bal Yerov Ayimotzeh. So why does Rav Chisda insist on Bittul? Ah, he's anticipating the possibility that maybe it'll become exposed on Pesach. So make sure that you do the Bittul, because in event that it becomes exposed, it surfaces on Pesach, and then you'd be in violation of Bal Yerov Ayimotzeh. So in other words, the status of the Chavis is in limbo. It changes. It's like a chameleon, you know, it'll change its colors. As long as it's buried, there's no Bayura Bayimatsay. Says Rashi, so why does Rav Chisda need Bittul? Because that same chametz, if it rises up from the dead, right, and Yifkach Olav Agal B'Moed, then it's Imatsay. And if it's Imatsay, you're going to violate the Lav D'Oraisa, and therefore you have to cover all your bases and protect yourself with a Bittul. So if I would ask you the following question, Rav Chisda's Bittul, is it D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan? What would you say? Chametz is now buried, three tefachim down below the surface of the ground. And you're telling me I have to do Bittul. Is that a D'Oraisa requirement or a D'Rabbanan requirement?
What do you say?
It's only D'Rabbanan. Because on a D'Oraisa level, there's no Bayur Abayim Matzeh. Rashi's telling us that Rav Chisda's afraid that maybe it would surface. Now it's true, if it surfaces, Rashi says, you need Bittul Midoraisa. But right now, it's buried. So at this particular moment in time, you don't need Bittul. Rav Chisda is only worried about the possibility of that circumstance arise. So if not for Rashi, I would have said that there's real Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze over here. And my proof would be Bal Yatmin, that if you hide a piece of chametz three tefachim below the ground, the Gemara says beferish that you violate Bal Yimotze. Hence, Rav Chisda requires Bittul. So what does it mean? Chametz shenafel mepolos harei kimavur. Kimavur means that midrabbanan you're not chayiv in bedika. And now it's a whole new sugya. And this is not Rashi. I'm just telling you. Without Rashi, I would have learned the sugya totally differently. That what we're talking about is when. To what extent do the Rabbanan require to do Bittul? I'm sorry, to do Bdika. Do you remember we had a sugya about Kikar Mishmei Korah? And you've got a piece of bread that's on top of a rafter. So the Gemara says, Tirchu Rabbanan, did the Rabbanan force him to take a ladder, climb up to get the chametz, because maybe the chametz will fall down.
So we don't have to do that.
I don't remember the maskot, honestly. I'd have to look it up in Shulchan Aruch. But my only point is that if not for Rashi, I would have said that Rav Chisda is absolutely requiring Bittul. He'll require Bittul because of the halacha bal yatmin, which means you're not allowed to hide chametz. it's still matsuri. It might surface, and that if it might surface, it means it's matsuri. So now, what's the whole sugya of that Mishnah? The Mishnah wants to know to what extent the Rabbanu were willing to be choshesh that maybe you know you'll eat this chametz or something along that line. What they matriach you to dig up a chametz that's buried three tefachim below the ground, just like in the case of the chametz b'shmei Korah, did they force you to get yourself a ladder and climb up?
So when it says Rav Chisda says this, does that mean, and there's nothing else, but nobody else comments, that means that everybody agrees with Rav Chisda?
I think so. I don't see
like
a bar
pluk. He sort of said it on behalf of, nobody disagreed.
So I have a footnote here. This is interesting. I'm sorry, Michael, I got distracted. He says, "Uvachidushe Rabbeinu David Kosav, Shetzarach Levatlo Minat Torah." And Rashi is mashma. He says that Rak Mishum Chashash Shemi Yifades Hav Mapolas BePesach. It's Richu Chachomim Levatel. Oh, now I'm excited already. Because I mean, I shouldn't be excited about a machlokas. You know what I mean? But I'm excited about a machlokas. I'll tell you why. Because Rashi, I think, is reinterpreting the sugya. What I mean by reinterpreting, it's not the prima facie interpretation. Rabbi David is saying what the pshat is, that Omer Rav Chisda, first you have to cover yourself on a Doraisa level. Now you've covered the Doraisa. You did Bittul. Now the question is, do you have to dig it up in order to do beer? Well, that's already a Darabbanan issue. And the Rabbanan weren't mechayev you to go to this extent in this tircha.
I thought you said Rav Chisda was Darabbanan.
No, I'm talking about Rabbeinu David. I'm sorry. I may have messed up over there. Let's turn back to rewind. Rashi holds that Rav Chisda is Darabbanan. Correct?
Yes.
And Midoraisa, you don't need Bittul. Because Harei Kimavur covers you as far as Bal Yirah is concerned. Bal Yimotzeh. Comes along Rabbeinu David, he says, Nein, Rav Chisda requires Chametz, Bittul Chametz, Daoraisa. In its present state, Rabosa, do you hear what I'm saying? Not because it will be exposed. It'll be dug up. So now I ask yourself, well, wait a minute. If you're telling me that I violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh, and hence I need Bittul, and Rabbeinu David insists that according to Rav Chisda, you need Bittul Midoraisa, so what are you telling me, Chametz Harei Kimavua? What do you mean Kimavua? You just told me I'm violating Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh. And Berzon adds in parentheses, it's like Bal Yatman, where the Gemara says explicitly you violate Bal Yirah, Bal Yimotzeh. The answer is, now we're on a Darabbanan level. Why? Because you already fulfilled your Doraisa, namely Bittul, says Rav Chisda, that's what the Mishnah is addressing. Once you've already covered your bases on a Doraisa level, you've done Bittul, now there's no Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh, but the Darabbanan require that you destroy all your Chametz. Now the question is, how far did the Chachamim go?
I mean, did you have to dig it up to destroy it?
Exactly. And that's what the Mishnah is telling you. The Chachamim didn't go that far. Just like they didn't go as far as to tell you have to bring a ladder to get it down from Shmei Korah, according to one side, I don't remember that we paskin. So too, they didn't require you to dig it up from underneath three tefachim. So that's the way Rabbeinu David is going to learn the sugya. You must have Bittul. You must have Bittul. And Rashi says it's Kimavur, but then I'm stuck with Bal Yatmin. So you have to say that in Bal Yatmin I put the Chametz there, and therefore, if I violate Bal Yimotzeh. Not sure exactly how that works, because here in the case of Mapolis, Rashi says it's not Bal Yimotzeh. I'm just afraid maybe it'll be dug up. And I don't know how to reconcile that. But the Rebbeinu David is much smoother, if you ask me. Because he's saying that he has to do Bittul Midoraisa. Now, of course, according to Rebbeinu Chananel, the Chaf HaDimyon here is super. You know, you have to highlight it, because it's not Mavur. Because according to Rebbeinu David, in the absence of Bittul, you violate Bal Yirah Bal Yimotzeh. So you can't say mevur mamish. It's kim mevur as far as the Rabbanan requirement of bedikas chametz. Now, Rabosai, there'll be a tremendous nafkemin, I think, about chametz shavu lava pesach. Let's just think this out. According to Rashi, Rav Chisda requires bittul just because you might have a situation where it's exposed. but you don't violate Bal Yoram Bal Yematzeh on this chometz. According to Rabbi David, if you didn't do Bittul, you violate Bal Yoram Bal Yematzeh. For sure it's chometz Shavuot and Pesach. According to Rashi, I'm not sure. Let's say, according to Rashi, this is a super duper requirement. So let's go over this again. According to Rashi, if he did not do Bittul, would it be Chomet Shavuot Levav Pesach? Let's just think that out for a second. Let's see, does he say anything here about Chomet Shavuot Levav Pesach? I was hoping. You have anything over there about Chomet Shavuot Levav Pesach? Okay, so again, I'm just going to take a plunge, so to speak, right? That maybe, according to Rashi, if he didn't do Bittul, then it would not be Chomet Shavuot Levav Pesach. Whereas according to Rav Chisda, if he wasn't, this part I'm sure about. According to Rabbi David, for sure, with that, in the absence of Bittul, it's Chomet Shavuot Levav Pesach. According to Rashi, I'm vacillating back and forth. I might assume that according to Rashi, even in the absence of Bittul, he does not violate Bal Yoram Bal Yematzeh, and therefore it's not Chomet Shavuot Levav Pesach, unless we're going to... Right, and on a Drabbana level, he certainly doesn't need Bedika, because it's Kimavur. Yeah, so according to Rashi, Mimonavshach, it's not Chomet Shavuot Levav Pesach, even in the absence of Bittul. Rav Chisda is saying, you know, we'll give you a patch if you aren't Mavakl. Why is Chachoma worried about the fact that it might get exposed? But after we give him patch, the chometz itself is mimonavshach. It's not chometz shalom of the pesach. On a doraisa level, the Torah removes vayirah according to the shita of Rashi, correct? And on a drabbana level, it's kimavur. So you didn't violate the drabbana either. So it would not be chometz shalom of the pesach. Totona kama chafisa sakelev ishlosha tfochim. He writes here in the name of the Sfas Emes, Ein svar lomar shechomet shenimtza tachas mapoles berochav shlosha tfachim begova shlosha tfachim yechoshev kimavur. Aha. He's saying, what happens if you sort of dig out a whole vacuum, you know, a whole, what's it called when you, you know, if you would dig out an entire space underground? And it happens to be 3 tefachim wide and 3 tefachim high. So it's 3 tefachim submerged below the ground, but it's also 3 tefachim wide. Ein svar lomar shechomet shenimtza tachas mapoles berochav shlosha tefachim begova shlosha tefachim yechashev kimavur. El losha mapoles mashma shehi al pnei shetach rav. Okay, so this is a big chiddush here, the Sfas Emes. I don't know that. So let's just take one more minute, then I'll let you go. Where is it in Shulchan Aruch? If somebody can help me, just want to see how we paskin. I'm very curious about the Rav Chisda's Bittul. Hey, where's the Dalet in the Hey? Is Tof Lamed Gimel, correct? Mm-hmm. Tof Lamed Gimel, does it say what Sif it is? Sif Bet? Okay. Al. No. Tof Lamed Gimel? That's wrong.
Tof Mem Chet.
Oh, Tof Mem Chet. Just one second. You're in Dalet Vehei here, right?
Right.
So I don't know. Here it looks like Tof Lamed Gimel to me.
Yeah. The one above it, it's Tof Mem Chet. Chet.
Okay, Tof Lamed Gimel. Now come on, here it is. Let's see, is this it? Oh, you do a sheish tachtav. Oh, maybe this is it. I don't know. Kotel shenish tamish bo chomish bechorim v'nofal v'nasa gal. Afilu ainu gavoshel shetfachim kidek fil ain tzarich lidol ta kain sheish bosa. Oh, this is something else. I need. I will be a doer sheish taktav chometz ain alav gavoshel shetzarich lahotzi. Sheish gavoshel shetfachim. Vatlo Belibo Vidayo. That's the best we can do here. You know, he's got a case where the chametz is in a dangerous, it's in a dangerous place. That's the best we can do. Well, what's in Tuf Mem Tes? That's something totally different, right? Tuf Mem Tes. What? Yeah. Oh, Tuf Mem Tes, the case we did before. You know, Malai and the Polu. But here he's got Tuf Lamed Gimel. So all he has here is Tuf Lamed Gimel. Because I don't know, this is interesting. There's some Shemesh Bok Chametz. You want to look in the Rambam? There's a Rambam here, I think, Steve. Is that a Rambam?
Yeah.
It says Beis on it?
Yeah.
Okay. So take a look in Chametz of Matzah. That would be where? Perek Gimel Aluch Yiralf, 311. Let me just see here. Ein Sorech Livdok. Filu Ein Gavosh Losh Tvach. Kali Tzarech Levatim Uli Shem Yesham Chometz. In Lo Bat Batel. Let's see. No.
Gimel.
Oh, listen to this. I want to just read to you the Mishnah Berurah. It says here, Mevatlo Belibo. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Sof the Mishnah Berurah, Vabitl hu mid Rabbanon. Mem Dalid. In the footnote, he quotes Rashi. Vabitl mid Rabbanon. Shema yifaka chagal b'moed v'yavral b'alira. Avol mid Raisein over klal. Oh, now listen to this line. The dafka lahatmin bi yadayim osur midaraisa. Aval hocha kevet shememela nafal of a gal eino over. Wow. He says this svara, but I'm not sure I understand this svara, but he's saying that you will violate by Rabbi Motze in the case of Yatmin, where he hit it deliberately. The Yesh Omrim de Midaraisa Machuyev Levatlo. This is Rabbeinu David. Let's see if Mr. Brewer. He quotes the name of the Smach. Midaraisa Machuyev Levatlo. De'im Lokev. Afal Bishain Daito Klal Fateh Hagal Bemoid. Mikomakom Over Mishum Lo Yimotse. Oh, Bematmin Lechatkila. Ah. So he's saying that the smak holds that without bittul you violate midaraisa, because why is it different than bal yatmin? Bal yatmin you violate lo yimotze, and here also it's lo yimotze. Oh, ulididhu, meaning according to the smak, which we identified as Rebbeinu David, im lo bitlo is chayv lefakech sagal levaro. Oh, he'll have to get rid of it because otherwise he's going to violate Bal Yiro Bal Yimotze. In Nafal of Gal Gadol Sheyefshal Fakeach, then Lekuyam Mutu, that's called Avuda Mimenu Mikol Odom, that's like Zuta Shoyam, is Lo Karina Be Lecho. Now, the Im Liachar Pesach is Fakach Agal, Vinis Gal Achomet, Sarei Mutu Afbachilo. Shechomit shavol of a Pesach einu osel mishum knas shekamsu chachomit shum shavol by Yiroba yimotzi ben atorim midrei sofrim. V'hocha binyaneinu lo overal of klu, because he was mevatel. So the Mishnah Berurah seems to be learning that if he didn't do bittul, it would be chomit shavol of a Pesach. Well, that makes sense according to the smak and Rabbeinu David, right? Then it's Chavit Shavuot Pesach because he didn't do Bittul. But according to Rashi, Bittul is just a very good idea which the Chacham will impose upon you, but I don't know that according to Rashi it becomes Chavit Shavuot Pesach if he didn't do so. Alright, Rabotai, so we'll stop here. So tomorrow we're going to start the Mishnah of Trumas Chavit with Pesach. Do we have to discuss that?
No.
Oh, I think I discussed it once at an 8 o'clock shiur on Shabbos. Okay.